the British Open Championship. We're joined right now by a senior writer for GolfChannel.com. He's Rex number 7. Not only joined by him, but he is on site at Royal Birkdale in Southport, England. Golf Channel and NBC are dedicating nearly 140 hours of TV coverage to the 146th Open from Royal Birkdale, from the first tee shot on Thursday to the final putt on Sunday. Rex, it's good to have you back in the jungle. How are you?
It actually feels like an Open Championship, finally. It's felt like San Diego for 3 days, Jim. So it's raining, the wind's blowing, so we finally feel like the Open has arrived.
Hey, Rex, you know I'm going there next, but first things first, you might very well be the first guest in show history live from Southport, England. How is life treating you these days?
It's a great place, and I think I was thinking about this today. If you go through all of the Open venues, this is probably the easiest one just from logistics. There's restaurant. It's a resort town. I mean, this is where the folks in England come to go to the beach, and there's tons of restaurants. But the more important thing, I'm literally standing outside of a Ladbrokes betting house right now. So that's always the best part of it.
That's a good thing. All right, so now you talked about the weather. Play was suspended today at Royal Birkdale due to a storm. What's the weather like right now?
Well, the rain finally arrived. They've been forecasting it for quite a while, and it's been absolutely perfect for the last 3 or 4 days as guys have gotten ready. And it's going to be interesting tomorrow morning because the sun was shining. There was very little wind. What wind there was for practice rounds, it was coming from what's going to end up being the opposite direction of what they face come Thursday. So all of that practice, all the lines you picked, all of the landing areas you kind of assumed were going to be safe is going to change. So I think what we're going to see early tomorrow morning and throughout the day tomorrow will be guys sort of scrambling, trying to catch up, trying to figure out exactly how to play this golf course. And if the forecast holds, which is not surprising, it's for more wind, it's for a little bit more rain, but the wind's going to be the bigger factor, I think we're going to end up with a very similar scenario to what we had in 08, the last time the Open was here. And the scoring average on round one in 08 was 75.8. That was the hardest on tour that year. And it's going to be a demanding test.
Rex Hoggard is a GolfChannel.com senior writer. He's joining us on site at Royal Birkdale in Southport, England. All right, so that was the average score back then in 08. Yesterday, Rex, Phil Mickelson played a practice round without a driver. Do you think he's going to stick with that tomorrow, and will other players follow suit?
I don't know that other players will take the driver out of the car, leave it in the rental car. I don't think anybody's going to do that. That's still being Phil, let's be honest. It's the same guy that played a U.S. Open at Torrey Pines without a driver. He played with two drivers at a Masters 1 year. I mean, he kind of thinks a little bit outside the box than most guys. But talking with Rory this afternoon, talking with Jason Day, they all kind of subscribe to the same theory. You won't see a lot of drivers off tees for these guys. It's going to be a lot of long irons. You're going to try to keep it low, keep it out of the wind. It's going to be more of the traditional links-style golf course that we're used to seeing at this event.
Now, speaking of Rory, he finished tied for 7th at the Masters and then missed the cut at the U.S. Open. In fact, he's missed the cut in 3 of his last 4 worldwide events. So when you look at him and how he's playing right now, how does his game look to you?
I mean, to hear him talk, he's very optimistic. You go back to last week, he said he saw some bright spots on the greens as far as his putting, because that's been the big Achilles heel for him. It's been injury. I mean, you can probably go down the list of potential contenders. I mean, all the way from Dustin Johnson to certainly Rory, Jason Day, even Jordan Spieth to a certain degree. And you can kind of point to one or two things in their game that would kind of lead you to believe that maybe this isn't the week for them, and that maybe the first-time winners trend, which is 7 of the last major championships have been won by first-time winners, is going to continue simply because all of them have something that you should be concerned about. And certainly in Rory's case, it's his putting. It's the injury that's kept him from doing the things he needs to do leading into a major championship to be at his absolute best. That being said, I don't know of anybody in the game right now that can turn it around as quick as Rory, so I'm not ready to write him off quite yet.
Now, Rex, in terms of his putting, and you wrote about this last month at the Travelers Championship, he spent nearly 2 hours experimenting with 5 different putters before picking the one that he started the week with. So how much of his putting struggles are about the putter itself, and how much are about the guy who's holding it?
Well, he would be the first to admit. He said it today. He said, look, that putter is 2% of the problem, and the guy holding the putter is 98% of the problem. I mean, Rory owns it. He's not one of those guys that's constantly looking for a fix with new equipment. I think what he was trying to get at was something he felt a little more comfortable with. What was interesting, I was in Connecticut when he did that at the Travelers Championship, is the 5 putters he had ran the gamut. I mean, they were basically every model you could imagine they went from a big mallet head, you know, something that doesn't really look right on the golf course, all the way down to a regular blade that he's played most of his career. And that's kind of what he settled on. And I think the trick this week for him, and he talked about it today, is he's gotten very, very technical with his putting. And what he needs to do is sort of separate all of those things he's been doing off the golf course to be more consistent and try just to be more natural, try to feel it, try to just focus in on his target and get out of that technical mindset.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard. Golf Channel and NBC are dedicating nearly 140 hours of TV coverage to the 146th Open from Royal Birkdale. Rex, before you go, you mentioned Jordan Spieth. Now, he's the odds maker's favorite right now. How does Royal Birkdale fit his game?
I think if you go back to the Open just a few years ago at St. Andrews in very, very difficult conditions, I think that was kind of a litmus test when you look at what Jordan is capable of doing this week. I was at the Travelers Championship. If he can do the things he did there, I mean, they were Tiger-esque. I mean, holding out the bunker shot, making the putts when you absolutely had to, all of those clutch things. It's not going to be the things that we probably focus on. We talked about Phil's driver and you know, how many drivers you're going to hit during a round. I don't think that's going to be important. It's going to be those key moments when you have to have a par save. Because, look, everyone's going to get in trouble this week. Everyone's going to have to recover from a bad bounce. That's just sort of the nature of Lynx golf. He's mentally strong enough, and if he's doing the things that he did at the Travelers Championship, I really think I would agree with the odds makers that he should be the favorite at this point in time.
So, Rex, final thought. You mentioned that amazing streak that we're on this incredible run of seven straight majors being won by a first-time major winner. Ultimately, can you see somebody breaking out from the pack at the top of golf, or is this just the way it's going to be for a while?
I think it's the way it's going to be for a while. I mean, we got so used to Tiger Woods, right? I mean, you would show up at these events, and you and I would probably be talking about picking Tiger versus the field, which is a ridiculous thought, but it was realistic at the time. I don't think we're ever going to have that again, at least not in my lifetime. Just simply, I think the margins have gotten so small between the top players. And if you look at what separates a Dustin Johnson from a Rory, from a Jordan, from a Jason Day, it's small percentages. And on a given week, any one of those guys can find themselves playing well, but doing it over the course of 6, 7, 8 years like Tiger Woods did, I don't know that that's realistic anymore, simply because the depth in golf and the parity in golf is much, much more now than it was, at least when I started my career, especially throughout Tiger Woods' era.
All right, so finally then, that depth and that parity and the fact that the margins are so small, how much of that is about technology and coaching?
I think it has a big thing to do with that. Rory talked about that today. That's a very good point. I think that guys are so much smarter now. They know their swing so much better. The technology is so much better. There were guys talking about hitting a drive on 9 this week over a grandstand that was no more than 50 yards away. And it's a shot that just 10 years ago at 08, no one even considered. And I think that gives you an indication of how things have progressed just in the last 10 years. I think the players are more physically fit now. I mean, let's face it, Dustin Johnson, he looks like he could play in the NBA or the NFL. I mean, they're just athletes now, maybe more so than they were 10 years ago. All of these things kind of combined to make it much, much more difficult for anyone to ever do what Tiger Woods did in his prime.
Rex, totally. I mean, just sidebar off topic for a minute. We always talk about Tiger Woods. Is he going to come back? He's not going to come back. What's that mean to the sport? I'm going to tell you the guy that I really miss. Not Tiger, but my man Anthony Kim. That's the guy that I miss.
Yeah, well, he was a special player. I was talking with his swing coach just a few weeks ago at the U.S. Open, and it will be interesting. I don't know if the last chapter has been penned when it comes to AK. And it's funny when you talk to Paul Azinger, who's the captain of that Ryder Cup team, and he really talks about the importance and the energy that Anthony brought to that team room. And he had an amazing run. I mean, for that short span of time, he really had that it factor that only Tiger Woods had, that he was the only guy you could compare him to. Now, he wasn't winning at the same clip, but there was just something electric around him. And again, I have to be honest with you. I'm not sure that we've heard the last of Anthony, and that would be great for the game because I'm with you. I mean, he was an entertaining and a fun player to be around.
Listen, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to say that while he didn't have that career and nobody was going to compare him to Jack Nicklaus, I think that he had as much, if not more, it. I've never seen a golfer with that kind of swagger. I've never seen a guy walk the course. I mean, even in a different way from Tiger, of course, Rex, but I've never seen a guy walk the course with the kind of swagger that AK had. So I hope you're right. When you say that might not be the end, I hope you're right. He is Rex number 7, a golfchannel.com senior writer and our first ever guest live from Southport, England. Rex, great job. Always good to have you on.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Golf Channel and NBC, once again, all over the coverage, 140 hours worth. And I hope he's right. I love Anthony Kim. And he's shown up of late kind of, a little bit, sort of. I hope we have not seen the last of him. And that guy was great for golf, too. And hopefully still can be. Like Tiger's not showing up again. Not on the course, and not where it matters.